times, and that it's very good to be here and to see you. Throughout this past year and a half, it's been easy to be discouraged, maybe frustrated by all that we can't do or unable to do. And so I've learned from so many of you and heard from so many of you gratitude for what we are able to do, and certainly feeling that today. And grateful to God. It feels surreal that things are improving the way they are, and it's much to look forward to, and good to be here. Have you ever wished you could see God? There are days when I have. I've sometimes wished that I could see God, because it can be difficult to have faith in something you can't see. Because seeing is believing, we say. Because we rely on eyewitness testimonies in our court systems. Because I'll believe it when I see it. Is how it goes. It's difficult to put your life's trust in something that's hidden from your sight. It's difficult, especially if you believe that God is a someone to relate to and not only a something to believe in. Have you ever wished that you could see God? I imagine some of you have. Today, as we've heard, we're beginning a short run of sermons in which we're revisiting our Good Question series that we started last summer. We had many questions that came through, and a number that we didn't have a chance to get through, and we thought this might be a good opportunity to reflect on a few more of them. The question I'll be speaking to today is, how do I know that God really exists? It's a big question. How do I know if God really exists? God is invisible. That's a fact. The fullness of who God is can't be seen by our human eyes. That's because God is spirit, as Jesus said to the Samaritan woman by the well sides. That's because God is at once present within the fabric of creation, while also existing beyond it and beyond the realm of our senses. This is because God is absolute holiness contained in a being. Moses, you might remember, was once told that were we in our current state to stare at God's presence head on, we would die. God is invisible. This is something we're told a number of times in Scripture. In Paul's first letter to Timothy, Paul glorifies God as the one who's eternal, immortal, and invisible. And later on in that same letter, Paul writes that no one has ever seen God or can see God, for God is immortal and lives in unapproachable lights. Some of us might be thinking about some of the hymns and songs that set those words so beautifully to music. God is invisible. God is closer to us than we could ever imagine, and yet somehow, at the same time, closed off from our view. God inhabits creation, but does so from behind a kind of curtain or veil. God is invisible, and yet we can somehow catch glimpses of God's. We see this in a number of the passages which say that God is concealed from us. The writers there speak in this odd way, this peculiar kind of way. They claim that we can see this unseen God. What on earth do they mean by that? It's either paradox or pure nonsense, either a beautiful mystery or just a bunch of baloney. They tell us that the invisible has been made visible, and that we just need to look, and we can see it for ourselves. And these ancient writers tell us that there are two ways that we can see this invisible God. And they're both mentioned in our reading for today, as we just listened to it. And I wanted to spend some time reflecting on them, because they've perhaps been the two most important things in my own journey of faith. These two things have helped me in those times when I've struggled to believe in a God I can't see. These two things have helped me when I found myself asking that question that we're reflecting on today. How do I know if God really exists? The first way we can get a glimpse of God invisible is through the person of Jesus. In his gospel, John writes that no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship to the Father, has made him known. Jesus, in other words, reveals to us the God we cannot see. Jesus is God with flesh, blood, and bones on. Jesus is a formless God who took on human form that can be grasped by our senses. Jesus displays to the world the otherwise obscured divine. Later on in John's gospel, Jesus said something like this to his disciples. He says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. When we see Jesus, we see God. Again, this has been helpful for me. I've never had a face-to-face encounter with the living embodied Jesus. I've never seen him in his earthly physical form, but I'm able to look at him through the accounts of his earliest followers and witness his work through lives that have been transformed by his presence and power. So in those times when I found it's difficult to believe in something I cannot see, I'm able to catch sight of God in Jesus and be moved further into the mystery of faith. Jesus is the Creator who comes to us in concrete and visible form so that we might come to a place of spiritual confession and conviction. In his book, The End of Religion, Pastor Bruxy Cavey writes this: "We as humans need a way of knowing what God is really like. And so God gives us Jesus as his very own show and tell, ultimate reality edition. We're able to see God in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, which we're reflecting on today, it goes like this, it's said like this: the Son is the image of the invisible gods. Jesus is the image of the invisible gods. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus' appearance resembles that of God's, or that Jesus is the exact representation of God's. What it means is that in Jesus, God is made known to us in a palpable and powerful way. That's what Jesus said when he claimed that when we see him, we see God's very self revealed to the world. For me, again, this has deepened my belief and devotion. It's helped me in those times when I've wrestled with doubts. I continue to find the God whom I see in Jesus to be the most compelling and intriguing person to have ever lived. I continue to be challenged by Jesus' claims and walk away from these pages convinced that Jesus was utterly unlike any other human being to have ever lived, ever walked the earth. That was the conviction of his earliest followers and the people who followed them. And that was the Apostle Paul's conviction when he wrote this letter to the Colossian church. In our text today, as we heard it, we're presented with this incredible litany to that effect. Beautiful, beautiful words. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus, as we read at the start of it. Think about that for a moment. The entirety of who God is inhabits the person of Jesus. The full reality of who God is resides in Jesus. The Scottish pastor and theologian Thomas Terence once said that there's no God hiding behind the back of Jesus. When we see Jesus, we see God's. Terence served as a chaplain during World War II for the British Army. And during that time, he once came across a soldier who had been severely wounded in battle. The soldier was on the verge of death and beginning to lose consciousness. And he saw Terence come over and recognized who he was from his dress and asked him this question. It's this profound and fascinating question, which is similar and connected, I think, to the question that we're considering today. The dying soldier asks the chaplain, "Is God really like Jesus? Is God really like Jesus?" Terence later recounted that he assured the soldier that Jesus was the only God that there is, that God who has come to us in Jesus has shown his face to us and poured out his love as our Savior. There's no God hiding behind the back of Jesus. In Jesus, we see God. Terence prayed with him, commended his spirit to God, and stayed with him as he died. The fullness of God dwells in Jesus, the Apostle Paul tells the Colossian church. Jesus is the image of the invisible gods. In Jesus, we get a glimpse of the invisible gods, the God we cannot see. Paul goes on in our reading. Jesus, he writes, is the church's ultimate authority and sits enthroned over all that exists in the universe. Through Jesus, God is making peace in the world and making all things right. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation, Paul says. Jesus was God and was with God since the beginning, and through him all things were created. Jesus existed prior to everything else and was a participant in the work of bringing everything into being. And Jesus, Paul says, is the very thread that holds all things together. Which all brings me to the second way in which we're able to view something of the God who's otherwise hidden from our view. And that's through creation. We get a glimpse of the invisible God through creation. In his letter to the Romans, Paul writes that Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. You get a glimpse of the invisible God through the visible things that God has made. It's an indirect view, but presents something that we're able to see nonetheless. The craftwork of the cosmos reveals the quality and character of the Creator. The heavens display a sign of God's existence and declare God's glory, as we heard in our calls to worship. The skies, being God's workmanship, reveal to us that there is a God and show us something about who that God is. In our house, Megan and I have this little wooden shelf. We use it for houseplants. It was made by my grandfather, who, while he was living, was a farmer and a carpenter. We've kept it because of the connection to him. It means something to us. My grandfather is no longer physically present in the world. So we can't see him. But we can see something of him in what he fashioned and left. The shelf is not my grandfather, obviously. But we're still able to recognize something of him in it. We can be reminded of his existence and get a kind of hint of who he was through what he made. The analogy is inexact, but I believe it gets at this sense. And as I've already said, it's helped me in those times when I've asked today's good question. It's giving me something I can see in those times when I struggle to believe in the God I can't see. I can walk through the forest or along the waterfront or under the stars at nights and see the handiwork of a hidden God. I can hold a leaf in my hands and look at all of its veins and watch a dragonfly circle through a meadow or just observe our daughters playing on the porch and be left with a tangible and visible impression of an intangible and invisible God. If I look carefully and closely at the things I can see in the world, and if I allow myself, I can find myself coming away believing more deeply in the God I can't see. In Jesus, we can see an invisible God. In creation, we can see God's invisible attributes. These are two ways we're able to see signs of an unseeable God. Now again, these are just glimpses. That's important to remember, I think. For now, we only see in parts, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. The things we can view often come to us as brief glances, which are just as often blurred by our humanity. It's like looking at a reflection through a clouded mirror, Paul wrote. We squint, we turn our heads this way and that to try to get a better look. We can't quite make out all the shapes because of the dim lighting in the room. We maybe even question afterwards if we really saw what we thought we saw. In this way, we walk by faith and not by sight, as Paul writes elsewhere. In believing, he said, we fix the eyes of our hearts not on what is seen, but what's unseen. So when we talk about this question, how do I know if God really exists? We're not talking about establishing a fact in a modern scientific sense. Well, some have made that a project. I don't believe we're often all that often helped if we try to prove God in that way. Seeing then is not believing, at least not strictly speaking or in the way we might often think. Instead, we're told in Scripture that believing is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is not about establishing empirical evidence for God so that we can know once and for all without a shadow of doubt that God is real. Faith is something different. It's a different kind of seeing. When I was a summer camp counselor, we used to do this thing called a trust fall. I don't know if they do this thing at camps anymore. Looking back, it seems like a major liability concern. Some of you probably know what I'm talking about. We'd have one person from the cabin stand up and turn around and face the other way and close their eyes. And sometimes we'd have them stand on top of a picnic table even, and everyone else would stand behind them and hold out their hands and tell them to fall backwards and assure them that if they did, they'd be caught. It was meant as a kind of fun activity, but also an illustration of faith. This was a Christian camp. The sense of trusting in what you cannot see. Letting your lives fall into the unseen hands that hold the worlds. I remember hating it, because my campers inevitably thought it would be much funnier if they didn't catch the person who was falling. And often that person was me, demonstrating this thing for the first time. But I do wonder if it gets at something of the nature of faith, the nature of seeing in the spiritual sense. Faith is not about getting to a place of certainty in the way that we might commonly understand it in our worlds. Faith is rather a kind of deep relational trust in a personal reality that we can't fully see this side of heaven. Yet I believe that the glimpses of God that we're able to see are important. They might be subtle at times. We might only ever see them from a distance, as the writer of Hebrews says. Kind of like shadows slowly moving towards us from miles away, or far off figures that we can somehow spot on the horizon. Many times they come to us all of the sudden, or kind of like a surprise. A vision, a dream, a thing that's suddenly seen in a different kind of light. But they're not nothing. The glimpses that we can get of God in this lifetime are not nothing. God has chosen to reveal God's self in ways that we can register for a reason. They're holy clues that have been carefully placed around us in plain sight. They're breadcrumbs we can spot that are meant to lead us to a place. They're fingerprints we can trace back to someone. These things that we can see are meant to lead us into life and eternal life with God, the invisible one. How do I know if God really exists? I do believe that today's question is really a good question. Imagine that some people might think differently when they first hear it. We are, after all, often afraid of those sorts of questions. Many of us have them, I know, but we tend to carry them inside quietly, or ask them in secret kinds of ways, because we can feel shame about them, and because those who ask them have often been quickly quieted or condemned for doubting. I believe it's a good question because it reflects an important honesty and spiritual sincerity, and because I can relate, as I shared at the start. I'm a rational, logical, show-me-the-facts kind of person. I really do wish some days that I could see God, so that believing might somehow be easier for me. But I've learned, however, that faith is a different kind of seeing, and in that way, a different kind of believing. It's this ongoing surrender of our lives to reality that we cannot fully view. It's a reliance at the core of ourselves on an invisible God. But faith, at the same time, is not altogether blind. We can get glimpses of God now, and we're told that one day we'll see face to face. We can see God most clearly in Jesus, and we can see evidence of God's work in creation. And that's meant something incredibly important for me in my life. And my hope is that if you've ever asked this question that we've asked today, or are asking it today, it might mean something important for you as well. Amen. Now we hear our closing song from our musicians. Thank you. you once again for joining us today, and thank you as well to those watching online or following along by other means. And thank you to those who've helped with ushering and technical supports. It's much appreciated. As we go, we seek God's blessing on our day, as well as on the offerings we've given. Just as a reminder, those can be dropped off with the ushers if you haven't had a chance to do so. Share these words of blessing from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. May we go in the spirit of God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began, knowing that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him.